You know, there's something special about senior pets. I still remember meeting a dog named Mystery when I first started at the Nova Scotia SPCA. He was a wise old rescue dog with cloudy eyes and a heart that could outshine the sun. He'd been through a lot, but he had this calm, gentle spirit that just drew you in. He was part of the palliative care program and is now living his golden years with an amazing adopter. Then just recently, I met Bubba and Bear, a bonded pair of lovable cats. They nap together, eat together, probably judge humans together. They may not be chasing toy mice around a house anymore, but they have so much love to give and stories to tell. That's what this episode's all about, celebrating our golden oldies. Senior pets may come with a few extra naps and a touch of gray, but they've already learned the ropes. No chewed shoes, maybe. No midnight zoomies, and maybe less accidents in the house. Not too sure about that. They are full of love, loyalty, and gratitude. So if you've ever thought about adopting, maybe it's time to skip the kitten and puppy chaos and meet your wise, whiskered soulmate instead. Let's get into it. You're listening to the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. I'm sitting here with Alicia Avendano, liaison and veterinary assistant here at the Nova Scotia SPCA. Alicia, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And if I ever do say your first name wrong, please correct me. I've been practicing all day.
It's not just you. It's a universal thing, but appreciate you getting her on the money.
I'm hoping I get 100% for the whole podcast, so we'll see. Can you tell us a bit about your role here at the Nova Scotia SPCA?
Absolutely. So as an animal shelter liaison, we essentially help with the operations of our six locations across the province. So assisting with bringing animals in through our doors, as well as looking into training, some different program tools as well. So overall, just working with staff, our community, and our interdepartments here with the organization to help keep things running smoothly.
I bet you wear many hats, right?
Yes, very many.
I think we all do. We all wear many hats.
Absolutely.
Here. Okay, well, we're talking about senior pets today. So how often do you work with senior pets here?
Honestly, probably more often than people may think. We see a number of different animals come through our doors all day, every day. But our senior pets are certainly a big portion that come through. So I would say likely close to half of our animals are senior pets.
Okay. I mean, they're just as important as all the other animals we have here. But just for people to know, what are some of the biggest benefits of adopting an older pet?
I think the biggest benefit is likely the feel-good aspect of being able to bring in an animal that has lived a life and has, you know, plenty of personality and their own story and background that can come into your life and your home. And taking a senior pet out of the shelter is always such a win, just where it is such a hectic place. Mm-hmm. Giving their golden years a cozy spot to go is certainly incredible. I think another big benefit would be, of course, that they are a little less wild and rangy than our puppies and kittens or our young animals. So certainly easier to cuddle up with and hang out on the couch with, which for, you know, different people is probably a lot more desirable.
Yes, absolutely. They love someone to cuddle with. Absolutely. Okay, so how are senior pets different from puppies or kittens in terms of behavior or personality? I mean, I'm sure it's the bathroom accidents might be a little bit less, maybe, right?
A little bit less depends on your senior pet. Of course, things kind of do a full circle at some point there once you get in the older years. But like I said, the larger personality is usually what you find with your senior pets. They've kind of got their own ways of doing things, and that can be really entertaining, but again, with that less high intensity energy, which is easier to manage with your things like your furniture not being chewed up or torn to pieces, and things that puppies and kittens like to do, pulling curtains down, all those very busy lifestyle adjustments are not seen as much with our senior pets.
Absolutely. And with the puppies, you get that nipping.
Exactly.
Yeah. The puppy teeth that can be so sharp.
So sharp. Shark teeth.
I don't know if you know this, but is there a certain year when dogs and cats start being considered a senior pet?
Oh, great question. I think it depends on kind of what you're looking at. If you're looking at it from a medical standpoint, usually we're saying the 8 to 9 years old is when we start switching to that senior label, I guess you could call it.
Okay.
Again, our cats tend to live a little longer than our dogs, just if we're talking about number of years. Yeah. So we could probably settle a little closer to the 10-year mark for those guys.
Okay. Well, thank you. With senior pets, so do you find they tend to fit in a little bit more? Like if someone comes to the shelter, they want to adopt one. Do you think it's an easy fit, or do you feel like because they're older, there might be more difficulties having them adjust at a new home?
So hard to say. Again, animals have their own personalities, just like people. So sometimes it could be a very smooth and easy transition because of their age and the fact that, again, they're a little more comfortable, a little more well-versed with their personalities and their likes and dislikes. And other times it could take that little extra if your house is maybe a little busier than what they're used to and they're looking for that calmer spot. It could take a little additional maneuvering to get them comfortable. But again, it really depends on the animal itself.
All right. Well, what are you hearing from people? Like, do you have any adopters that reach out to you afterwards after adopting a senior pet? Are they saying anything? Are they loving it? Are you hearing anything from the public?
Usually nothing but good things. With our senior pets, I mean, again, they're usually a lot more relaxed. So those really incredible moments of, you know, snuggled up by the fireplace during the winter, or, you know, wanting to be really close up to you and on your lap if it's a smaller animal. Those are really, really beautiful stories that we do get often. So we certainly hear all the benefits of having just, again, one of those pals that you can hang out with and not have to be so busy to have your wind down time on Sunday morning.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second and hopefully you don't kill me after the podcast. So at least obviously I mentioned Mystery. I think Mystery is one of my favorite senior pet stories. I did a feature on him talking to the adopter and how much she's just enjoying Mystery. And he's such a delight is what she calls him. Can you share an example of a senior pet who found their perfect match? Do you have any stories that you've seen a senior pet get adopted and the outcome and how positive it was?
Oh, that's a tough one, especially where you're talking about Mystery, because I've dealt with his owner plenty of times. Oh, okay. And she is lovely and perfect match there.
And I probably stole your story then.
Absolutely, because they are kind of the truest match made in heaven. I could certainly speak to a palliative care senior dog that is a perfect match. And I think it is a duo, we'll say, that has been discussed before, but it's our senior shepherd Hazel and one of our very own SPCA staff, Taylor.
Yeah.
They are by far one of the most adorable and perfect match I think I've seen in my years here. They just seem to go together like peas and carrots.
Yeah. And that was a good example. And I'm sure if Taylor was here right now, she'd be probably talking the whole podcast to how great Hazel is and how great senior pets are, right? I'm sure you're hearing that too.
Absolutely. I actually have a little in only because I saw Hazel just a few minutes ago for a quick recheck, nice. Part of our palliative program. So yeah, it was a great reminder of how incredible it is to take a senior pet home.
Fantastic. And Hazel's an adorable dog. Well, I'm glad you brought up the palliative care program, because I was going to ask you this question, because we've already mentioned it a couple times here. Can you explain to the listeners what the palliative care program and what it provides to the community?
Absolutely. So our palliative care program is designed for those pets that are often senior pets, not always, but that is what we usually see the most, who may have a chronic illness or a multitude of different illnesses that becomes quite taxing on an adopter. So this program itself allows us to help provide the medical care for this animal, but to send it home to a foster so that they can, again, enjoy all the benefits of being an owned animal outside of our organization while still getting all the medical care that they need. So it helps us ensure that they get, again, those golden years in a comfortable spot with loads of love and a place where they can call home. But we can also ensure that there's no medical issues that is too heavy on an adopter.
All right. Good answer there. And I think it's such a great program. I think it definitely helps those pets out there that need that special care. And it seems, I'm the one about Mystery, an adopter, and she loves it. She loves that Mystery. I mean, Mystery comes in, he gets all his medical needs taken care of. And I'm sure his medical records is stacking up. He's got quite a bit of things going on. But it's great that we can provide this to the community give peace of mind to the adopters, but also giving that loving home to the pets that we have here.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's a huge win for us as staff as well, because as we're talking right now about Hazels and Mysteries of the world, it still keeps us connected to those animals as well that we provided care to. Mm-hmm. So it's really great to see them kind of progress along and know that we get to stay in that connection throughout the whole process.
Good. Okay. So if someone's listening right now and thinking about adopting, why should they consider a senior pet? Yeah, you got to sell. You got to put your sales cap on here. What would you say to the public?
Truthfully, we've kind of touched on a lot of the points in the sense that, very limited training. So limited time going into kind of building these core knowledge pieces or skills and training. So that's always great. But ultimately, for me, I would say there's nothing better than knowing that, you've taken an animal that has lived a decent chunk of their life outside of a shelter so that, we can not only make space for plenty more that need to come in, but it really provides them with the maximum benefit and quality of life and joy for the remaining years. And again, they are just a little bit calmer and smoother on the resources to a certain extent when it comes to training and such. So I would say certainly come and pick up your senior pet to just enjoy their last little stretch of life.
Absolutely. Okay. So we've talked about adopting senior pets. So listeners have heard the benefits. So listeners are now at the shelter. They found their perfect furry friend. They've gone forward with the adoption process and now they're heading home. Now they have to care for that new friend, that senior pet at home. So what are some of the most important things to keep in mind when caring for a senior pet at your home? Is there anything that people need to do differently at the home to prepare for this new furry friend?
Always goes back to depends on the animal itself, which is always a loaded and vague answer. However, some of the benefits or the tips, I should say, that I could cover is making sure that there's a quiet spot, a safe spot that they can go when they are potentially overwhelmed or, again, needing their kind of afternoon nap and quiet time. So making sure that if you've got a dog or a cat that you do have a bed or something that they can, again, snuggle up with when they need that decompression time. And when you're looking at, again, our larger breed dogs, I would always suggest kind of keeping an eye on your stairs and flooring. Always really good to put down kind of a carpet or a mat just to make it easier once the bones start getting a little bit, more tired, maybe some arthritis, maybe setting in. It just helps kind of make their moving around, especially on hardwood, easier. Pet stairs are always good things to have too. Mm. Anything that lessens the, load on the joints is always a benefit.
Very good. Yeah. And I like it how you said it depends on each pet, which is so true because I am asking a very open question here because you made a point on that. If you have an animal with mobility issues or arthritis, you probably aren't going to want to adopt a senior pet with that kind of issue and have a you know, three-level house.
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to have a one. So it's got to be the perfect match for the pet, but also the adopter. And I'm sure people, you know, our staff here at the shelter know all these questions to ask, I guess, going forward, right? Correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Our staff try their very, very best to go through all possible scenarios and provide all the client education that anyone would need before they go home. We certainly provide any type of additional info as well that could be needed. And again, there are times where places like our thrift stores and our donations that come through that could even have, again, something like those pet stairs that we can either suggest to go and have the adopter check out themselves, or if there's something that we have in shelter, then we're always happy to provide that to go home with the pet as well.
And you could probably help me with the name of this, because all I'm thinking about is this type of ramp that we had for a Frenchie when he had his knee surgery, and just to kind of help him get on the couch, and it folds into two. Do you know the name of this there?
No. You caught me. You caught me in one of the things that I wouldn't have a proper name for. I'd probably likely just call it a ramp or a pet support. Something.
So listeners, they can get this type of ramp that it folds and, you know, it's kind of splits, you know, folds down a little bit, but you can get that and helps your pet getting on the bed or on the couch.
Absolutely.
So you don't want them jumping down and hurting themselves more if they have some issues. So I guess it's another thing. I like putting you on the spot today. Okay. So carrying on then, let's talk about diets, exercise. I know it's depending on any certain animal and pet that you have. Everyone's going to be different, but, in general, is there a difference with the exercise and diets with senior pets?
Certainly want to make sure that you're keeping them at their ideal body weight. So again, similar to, you know, people, I suppose, metabolism slow down as you age, and certain, you know, high calorie type foods could be tricky. So just making sure that you're keeping to their portions so that there's no additional strain or weight.
So are there now, are there certain signs that a pet might be slowing down, or, you know, something that adopters can keep an eye out for if they think that their senior pet might need a vet checkup more often? Anything that they should look out for and keep an eye on?
Yeah, it's certainly best practice to stick with your annual exams, regardless of if they're slowing down or not, just so that your veterinarian and yourself really can kind of keep a consistent tab on how they're doing. It's easy when you're looking at something every day to kind of miss the small subtleties. So a veterinarian that can look back at their notes from the previous year and get kind of the updated scoop from you directly, it's probably the best practice to just stick with the annuals. Again, if you start seeing kind of more napping that slow down in general with meal choices or meal times, not so interested in their regular tasks that you're used to seeing, those are probably the biggest signs to look out for.
Okay, well, thank you. All right, we're going to take everything we all talked about, and I'm going to do this again. We'll get you to put on that sales cap again, just because I want to put it all together and tell all our listeners out there of the you know, why senior pets are just as important as the young ones. So what's one piece of advice you would give to someone adopting a senior pet for the first time?
Again, all pets are so important. And, you know, one of the biggest things that we see is how beneficial it is to any home to bring any pet into it. But I go back to thinking that if you're potentially unsure of what kind of pet you want, or if you're not 100% able to commit to, again, the additional needs of a younger animal, that bringing home that senior pet is really the ideal, to be able to have that companion, to be able to lessen that length of stay in the shelter for an animal that really does just want to lay down and be able to share its time with someone who cares about them. So okay. I think that would be it.
All right. That was a good answer, Alicia. Thank you very much. Now, if the listeners out there hear all the good stuff and they're like, you know what, I'm really interested in looking into senior pets, where can they go here at the Nova Scotia SPCA? Where can they go to learn more?
You can always check out our website, NovaScotiaSPCA.ca, and you can always walk right into one of our 6 locations across the province and check out our shelter staff and their knowledge. And you can always call our contact center as well if looking something up online isn't necessarily your cup of tea. We've got great staff that can fill you in on the phone as well.
Oh, good answer. And if the palliative care program, that's just on a case-to-case kind of thing? Or?
Exactly, yeah. So if you are looking at our adoptable animals online, they will have their own little special note that they're part of our palliative program.
Okay, fantastic. Is there anything I haven't asked about senior pets that you would like to add, or do you think we got everything?
I guess there's just one last note about fostering. If you're not, you know, again, 100% certain that a senior pet is necessarily the ideal for your home, we always do look out for our fosters who could help for a short term as well, to kind of get an idea and again help them get out of the shelter for a little bit before they find their permanent home.
Perfect. And they find all that information online or at the shelters as well?
Absolutely.
All right. And do you know how generally long fostering care kind of goes for? Is it usually like 6 to 10 weeks or something? Or
It could be anywhere from 2 weeks to, you know, 6 to 8. So it really depends on the reason for fostering.
Okay. And that's a good kind of people can see if this works out for them. If it's a fit, they foster and they go, no, I love that. And look at adopting a senior pet after that.
Exactly.
If it all goes well, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank
you. I appreciate
you.
That. All right. So we've heard from the expert. Sure, senior pets might sport a few stylish gray hairs and enjoy the occasional extra nap, but what they bring to your home is pure gold. Love that's tested, loyalty that's proven, and a calm, steady presence that makes every day just a little brighter. Adopting a senior pet isn't just giving them a second chance. It's scoring a lifelong companion who's already perfected the art of love and might even teach you a thing or two about taking it slow. So thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, give us 5 stars. For all the animal lovers out there, tell your friends and family about the podcast, because every listener can make a difference.